So let me start by just saying good morning and welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. I do this every Sunday, but I mean it. My name is Pastor Mike, and I'm glad you've chosen to join us today. As we get ready to hear God's Word this morning, if you have your Bible, I would ask you to open it, or someone next to you has it that you can look on with. Let me invite you to open your Bible, and before I do that, Tim, thank you. This is why I can't deviate from notes. Kids, you are dismissed to go with Tim to Kingdom Kids. I'm sorry about the interruption there, folks. So if you have your Bible this morning that you can open, let's open it to Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. Give me a second here, folks. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong section of my notes, so it's on my screen, but it's not. Hey, look at that. It works. Hey, so we are in week two of our sermon series of Christmas Promise. Last week we looked at the hope we have in the salvation of Jesus and the hope of His return for the church, right? This week we look at the prophecy that a virgin would give birth to a son and call His name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And we're going to look at the impact of that prophecy has had throughout the years and still has today. And it's only fitting that I have titled today's sermon, God with Us, because that's what Emmanuel means, God with us. April 2003, when I was 16 years old, I was going on my first lone hunt. If you're not a hunter, you may not understand, and I'm sorry, but this was the best idea that I had to describe what I'm trying to go for today. I went on my first lone hunt. I was turkey hunting, and I found a farm south of Sigourney that had a bunch of turkeys every morning during the spring that I had never hunted on that farm before. I didn't know who the farm belonged to. I quickly figured out who it was. I went and knocked on their door, asked permission to hunt, and I got approval to hunt. And I'll never forget the first day out on the farm. Has anyone ever been out in the woods at night and not know where you're at? Just one others, two others, three others? Okay. Well, if you get put somewhere where you're not familiar, even your own land can look different at night. So go play hide-and-go-seek on your property and see how it's different at night than it is during the day. It's different. You notice different things. And so when you're turkey hunting, one of the key parts of turkey hunting is to get out there before the turkeys are awake. Did you know that? You want to be out and sat before they come out of the roost. And that's how you get them called in and to get them come. So I'm walking out April. It's the middle of April. It's cold. It's dark. I've got a flashlight on my head, walking with all of my gear to the spot. And so everything looks different at night. Distances are different. And when you get out there, you get sat down. It's like 4:30 in the morning because turkeys, they like to get up as soon as the sun starts to crack. Actually, when owls are still hooting, you can hear the turkey starting to gobble, and that's when they're waking up, getting ready to come down. But when you get sat down, you're sitting in the cold, you're sitting in the dark, everything sounds different, it may be a little eerie, but one thing that you know for certain, you're alone in that moment. You are by yourself, you're alone, you don't know anything around you, it is utter darkness. And it's in that moment that your mind starts to wander. You start to analyze every noise that you hear. Is that a cougar coming up behind me? Is that whatever? What's that noise? Why am I hearing this? All your senses are on high alert, but you're all alone. But the sun eventually will come to rise, right? The sun will rise. And you get to feel that warmth on your sun, or the warmth of the sun, but you are still alone. The point is that you're alone when you're out in the woods and you're doing this. But you can see where you are, and you can start to tell the things around you. This morning I want to talk about that aloneness and how Emmanuel changes that whole thing. People without a relationship with Jesus, you know that they feel that way that I just described of being out in the woods alone, cold, by themselves, unknowing. They feel this way all the time. They're in the dark. They're alone. there's almost a hopelessness that goes with it. Today, we're going to see that as believers, and this goes right into our sticky statement, as believers, we are not alone. Let's go to our scripture this morning, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 10 through 16. It says, "Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.' And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name," what? "Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey, and when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, for before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted." So if we look at this in context, about 735 BC, the kings of Israel and Syria are prepared to attack Judah. But Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, told King Ahaz of Judah to trust God to save them. However, Ahaz, if you read this in full context, Ahaz refused to accept God's offer of a miraculous sign. So side note, if God ever offers you a miraculous sign, take it. Take it. Ahaz refused to accept it and instead found himself looking to man. He was looking to Assyria for help against Israel and Syria. Then we see Isaiah challenged Ahaz. He challenged the king's faith and proceeded to prophesy of a God-given sign anyway. A sign that was for the whole house of David, the nation of Judah, that God was with them. Also, a future sign of the promise of the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. This is the first time in Scripture that we get the details of how Jesus, the hope of salvation, which we talked about last week, how God's plan of redemption would enter the world. And that was through the virgin birth. We see the fruition of this prophecy in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. It says this, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet being Isaiah," and it goes back and it puts in quotations, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." God fulfilled his promise 700 plus years later. Is anybody waiting on a promise from God this morning? I hope you don't have to wait 700 years, right? But God's timing is better than ours. But God wanted his people to know, the Israelites to know, and to wait with expectation for the day that he would dwell among them, which was the promise given by using the word Emmanuel, because it literally means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us, is a very, very big deal. And it's something that each of us should take to heart, because the promise is we are not alone. As we celebrate Christmas, there's a few things that I would invite you to consider this morning, a few things to dwell on as Christmas approaches. And it's very simple. God among us. Consider the weight that carries. God being present with you, right? The God who created all things is among us. He's with you. The God who knows all things among us. The God who reigns. The God who rules. The God whose power knows no limits is among us. That should excite everybody in here. God chose to leave heaven and came to earth to be with us. to rescue us. Even after Jesus left and he ascended back to heaven, he didn't leave us alone. Who did he give us? His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit to be present with us until he returns. And when he returns, that's when we go with and we're in heaven. We're in eternity with Jesus when he comes back the second time. Folks, I'm here to tell you today that God with us changes everything. So we're going to answer, how does it change everything? Easy to say, how does it change everything? It's because of this. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, we can truly receive the gift of God with us. Without death and resurrection of Christ, we can't receive God with us. Not just with us as a friend who walks beside us through. I remember pictures of a kid, and I know it was quoting a Bible scripture, and I should have looked so I could actually talk intelligently this morning. But there's these pictures talking about two footprints in the sand, and then there was one because he carries your burdens. And it's not just he walks with us as a friend walks with us, though indeed he does do that. I think we can all testify that he walks with us through life. But God with us, as in he comes to live inside of us, right? Through the Holy Spirit, he comes and lives inside of us, giving us strength in place of weakness, courage in place of fear, and vibrant life in all those dark places that we once felt dead and defeated in. On the night before he died, what did Jesus promise? He promised that he would send us an advocate, a Spirit of truth, who would come live with us and be in us. This was something altogether new. This was a new promise. No longer would men need a priest to mediate between them and God. Prior to Jesus' coming, the only way to reconcile your sins was to take a sacrifice and go to the priest and have the priest go atone for you. What Jesus is now bringing, this newness he's bringing, is that you yourself can go straight to God. How does that work? God, I need you. That's how simple it is. I don't have to go capture two doves, take them to the priest. I don't have to bring my year bull in with me and sacrifice him. God, you paid for that sacrifice already. You've opened this communication between me and you. You've made this so I can talk directly to you. There's nothing. Jesus has filled that gap. And he has made that way. Jesus made it possible. And he said, Jesus also said, he would also be our teacher, that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher, and that he would be closer than our next breath, because he is always present with us. I have to ask you this morning to imagine, put on your thinking caps and imagine with me, what would life be like today if the promise of Christ never came? If it didn't show up, if God didn't promise it, if it hasn't, maybe it just hadn't come to fruition yet. Maybe God wasn't even talking to us and we were just stuck here without. It would be a little bit like the woods at 4 a.m. in April. Cold, dark, eerie, alone. We wouldn't have the hope of the rising sun, would we? So we would have no warmth of the rising sun. We would all, let's take it away from the woods. What would we actually be stuck in? We would be stuck in our sin. We would be stuck in our situation, in our life. We would have no hopes of getting out of them. We would be stuck with our physical ailments. We would be stuck with our emotional condition, our mental condition. We would have no hope for spiritual renewal, our financial issues. If you've ever gotten yourself in a deep hole in finances, it's hard to dig out of those. Imagine no hope for ever getting out of that situation. We wouldn't have the hope of eternity. Isn't that why we strive to do what we can today to tell people about Jesus Christ? Is it so they come and just sit in this church and feel good every Sunday? Or is it so we can secure their place in eternity so they join us in heaven one day? Do you know somebody who doesn't know Jesus? If Jesus came back today, are they in heaven with you? If the answer is no, guess what, church? You have a job to do. It's our job to tell them who Jesus is. It's Jesus' job to do the saving. We don't do the saving. We do the telling. Can you imagine if we were left without the hope of eternity and nothing but hopelessness? Because that's where they're at right now. They don't understand what God with us actually means. So, church, we have a job to do. Because of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, right? We never have to be alone. We never have to wonder how to please God. We don't have to worry if our efforts are enough, if we're working hard enough, if we're doing things right. We can simply rest knowing that He is with us, that He is in us, that He loves us, and that He will never, ever, ever leave us. Doesn't that sound like a gospel full of hope? Doesn't everybody need to know that? So get out your pen this morning. You're going to write down these verses. This is how you can go and tell somebody that He is with us, that He is in us, that He loves us, and He will never leave us. Jesus tells us this. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We'll have it on the overhead here, Matthew 28:20. He goes on to tell us in John 14:17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, you know Him, for He dwells with you and He will be in you." Speaking of the Holy Spirit. We know that He loves us. Romans 5:8. "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And He will never, ever leave us. Deuteronomy 31:6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them. For the Lord, your God, goes with you. He will never leave you, nor," what's it say? "Forsake you." Church, we are not alone. We are not alone. My goal this morning is for you to leave here encouraged this morning. Because no matter what you're going through in life, no matter the pain that you carry, the hurt, the loss, the grieving, the uncertainties, the loneliness, the feeling unworthy, unloved, listen, you don't have to carry any of this on your own. This is not for you to shoulder. And it finishes with this, 1 Peter 5:7. "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." Church, our ultimate comfort is this. God is with us. Through His Spirit, the greatest is His coming. That hope of salvation that we talked about last week. But it continues now because it's to be with us. It's not do this and do this and you have the hope of salvation. It's a person. It's Jesus. He is our hope. He is our comfort. He came to be with us so we don't have to be alone. He came so we can have hope and our hopelessness. He has provided for our deepest needs. He has forgiven us of our sins. He has washed them white as snow. When we look at the depravity of our sin and realize what our sin gets us, where our sin rightfully, it condemns us to death. And to understand that Jesus for every ounce of sin that you have ever committed, nailed it to the cross, defeated death, and he did it so he could fill that gap so you can go straight to the Father. There's not a whole lot of things in life that can take away your hope anymore when you understand that. Because Jesus is where our hope lies, because God is with us. So this morning, have hope. Trust Him with your problems. Believe His promises. Hang on when it feels too hard to hang on. Because God with us changes everything. God with us fills us with a hope. God promised it 700 years before it came. Israel was like a roller coaster and being in relationship, out of relationship, in relationship, out of relationship. Coming under a rule from other nations and being exiled, and Jesus and God says, salvation comes. And it came in the form of Jesus Christ. Church, we are not alone. Now, I've already kind of hit on this, but this is the whole purpose of this. God left us here for a reason. You're living and breathing today for a reason. And it's to share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus Christ. If you take a timeline and show X amount of years, and we live, I don't even know what the average time that we live anymore. Let's call it 86 years or 100 years. Let's call it 100 years. Let's just give us the benefit of the doubt in here. 100 years, okay? It looks like a pinprick compared to an old nail like they put the barns together with. Like, itty bitty. Our time here is nothing. It is so insignificant. So it begs the question, why are you here? Who do you know that I don't know? What's your influence? Who can you tell about Jesus that maybe Deb will never be able to tell? Or John? He sees people at Pellicorp that I won't ever know my entire life, right? Taylor, you work at a bank, right? You see all kinds of people. Emma, at school, you see kids I'll never see. You're here to tell them about Jesus Christ, God with us. It is our job to carry out the Great Commission. It is our job to carry out the Great Commission. We must share the good news this Christmas. As Dave's wearing, he's not here now to tease, but he's wearing a shirt, and I made the joke that he looks like a Christmas present. We have the greatest Christmas present ever. It costs nothing. It cost him everything. It cost us nothing. We need to share it. We have to tell everyone that God is with us, because every single one of us play a vital role in engaging our community for Jesus. Stacy, if you would come up. So the question is this morning, who will you tell? Who will you tell that we are not alone? That God is with us. That's your challenge this week, is to go and tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You guys, what? I just ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I know we're small in number here, but I want to make sure. I don't ever want to skip this and miss this. Jesus wants you to know this morning that He is here with us. He's here with you. And to be able to be with Him requires one simple thing, and that's a relationship with Him, and that's by repenting of our sins. The Bible is pretty clear. It tells us that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. So today, whether this is in a new way, you've never said this before, or maybe this is in a fresh way. You're just saying, Lord, I've stepped away. I need to come back. Forgive me. I want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to say, I need that relationship with Him, that I want to be forgiven of my sins, that I want to know that God is with us, with me. So if you're here this morning and that fits you, I've described where you're at. Would you please just raise your hand? Let me see it. Amen. And church, here's how I want to end. Sometimes we get so focused. We get so focused on the things in front of us, the things that are happening in life, the hardships, that it's easy just to forget the promise and know that God is with us. He is here. He's present. He knows everything going on in our lives. There's nothing He's unaware of. And He cares and He loves us so much. He loves you so much. Life gets busy. Things happen. Challenges come up. And we forget. We forget our time with God. We forget our time to dig in and draw closer to Him. God wants us to know that He is with us. So this morning, as the worship team leads us in a song, I would just encourage you, come to the altar. Come to the altar. Sing. Pray. And I just lift your voice to God this morning. And be with God. Make Him the focus and the priority in your life. And no matter what is going on, remember that God is with you. And church, He will be with you. Amen.